Well, for those of you who are paying close attention to such things, you might have noticed that the priest is wearing red today. And that is a highly unusual color to see the priest wear. In fact, there's only 2 days in the entire year in which you see the priest wear red on a Sunday. Those days are Palm Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, and every rare once in a blue moon when today's feast falls on a Sunday. Hasn't happened for 11 years. Won't happen again until well into the next decade. It's the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. I'll tell you what it is and a little bit about why it's important. The feast day that we celebrate actually has its origin in the fact that St. Helen once upon a time discovered the actual cross Jesus died on when she was in Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. It was 1,700 years ago, and ever since then, on the 14th day of September, the day St. Helen discovered the cross, we've celebrated the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Now understand, we aren't just celebrating the fact that some ancient saint long ago found the actual cross Jesus died on. This is a pretty amazing thing in and of itself. But we haven't been celebrating this feast day every day for 1,700 years just because of that. This feast day is about the fact that there is one thing that sets our faith apart from every other faith in the world. And that's the cross. It's how God makes good out of evil. How evil never gets the last word. The greatest mystery that ever befalls us is how could there be a good and all-powerful God and evil in the world? And the answer is the mystery of the cross. In the cross, all love is expressed. In the cross, all wisdom is expressed. In the cross is all spiritual power. And this goes to anyone who bears their cross in faith. Let me tell you a little story to help illustrate. Long, long ago, I lived in Mexico. Way on the outskirts of town, right in the proximity of sheep herders and cattle herders, there's a little, gorgeous little Spanish colonial parish, and that's where I lived, right? Way out there on the edge of town, there lived a woman who literally, one day, ran into a burning house to save her dying son. Everybody in the town knew who she was. Everybody in the town respected her for what she did. No medical care, no immediate emergency treatment, anything like that. She was covered from head to toe with scars and with burn marks. And one day, the parish had a festival, and they handed her the microphone to speak. Let me tell you, when that woman spoke, you could have heard a pin drop. And it wasn't just because everybody respected her for what she did. It wasn't just because everybody knew her story. It wasn't even because of what she said. It was because of who she was. Listen, she was marked by the power of the cross. All spiritual power, all goodness, all love, all wisdom is shared with us lowly mortal human beings inasmuch as we embrace and accept our cross in faith as well. That's what it means when we talk about the exaltation of the cross. Now, the very phrase, exaltation of the cross, would have sounded ridiculous to ancient ears. You already know that, right? The cross, in as much as it's, you know, a work of art in modern times, people wear it around their neck, and it's gilded and encrusted in jewels. You know, the cross was such a horror to the ancient church that for the first 900 years of Christianity, they would not depict Jesus dying on a cross. It was considered to be too horrible to think about. The ancient Romans used the cross as a weapon of political intimidation. They said, "This is what's going to happen to you if you do not obey the empire." They held peoples in subjugation because of the cross. exaltation of the cross, you might as well talk about the exaltation of the firing squad, right? The celebration of the guillotine, or the exaltation of the noose and the hangman's gallows. What is it that we exalt? The power of God and the wisdom of God. And he works through the worst to bring about the best. Do you believe it? You ready to act on it? That's what today's feast day is all about. That's what our first reading was all about. Now let me go over the first reading with you, because it was mysterious. It tells us the story of the Israelites and Moses. They're making their way through the desert. They're going to the promised land. Now, every time you hear about the Israelites going through the desert to the promised land, remember this. That is a metaphor for us, for our lives. Because we're going to a promised land, aren't we? What's our promised land? Kingdom of heaven, right? Not this place. We're not there yet. And to get there, we got to go through a time of hardship. A time of deprivation, kind of like a desert. So when you hear the story of Moses taking the Israelites through the desert, just remember, that's us making our way through this life. And what happens when Moses is taking the Israelites through the desert in the time of hardship? They turn to Moses and they complain about the hardship. They say, Moses, we don't like this desert. We don't like this food. We want Doritos. We want cold beer. We want hot pizza, right? We don't like this at all. And they complain and they complain. Do we do that? Do we do that to God? Do we turn to God and complain about our faults? Never, right? Not us. Never, not even once. And you know what God does in response? He sends serpents. Serpents bite the people. Then the people turn to Moses for help. They say, please, please, Moses, turn to God so that he'll help us, so that we won't die from these serpents and their bites. And Moses turns to God. He says, what am I supposed to do? God says to Moses, make a serpent out of bronze, put it on a pole. Hold that serpent up high. Anybody who looks on that serpent in faith will be healed. So Moses makes a serpent out of bronze, puts it up on a pole, puts the pole up on high, tells the people, if they look on the serpent in faith, they'll be healed. And lo and behold, they're all healed. But what a strange thing for God to ask. I mean, wasn't the snake the cause of the problem in the first place? But you can take that one back to the Garden of Eden, right? And all our problems started with a serpent. Why on earth would God use that as an image of healing? Answer, it is a prefigurement of the cross. That God uses the very cause of our downfall, the very thing we most would despise, and that's what he uses to heal us. Evil does not get the last word. Here's my favorite way to describe the cross. Now, it comes into every single life. All of us, your priest included, are carrying our share of crosses. But you want to know what your cross is? My favorite way to describe it is this. If I could give you a magic wand, and with that magic wand, you could erase something right out of your life, what would you erase? For some people, it's a toxic relationship. So wave that magic wand and poof, it's gone. For some people, the financial difficulties are their hardship. For some people, it's a disability or an illness. But there's something in your life right now, above all other things. If it were within your power to get rid of it, you'd get rid of it at the wave of a magic wand. And the horror of this day is when you hear somebody tell you, that is the holiest place in your life. That's your cross. Now listen. Embrace that cross in faith. Look to the Lord, not to yourself. That's how he's going to bring you to the very healing that you need. And when you look back on this life through the perspective of the other side, you will see that that thing you wanted to eliminate and expunge from your life was God's greatest blessing. Now, don't get me wrong. If we can right wrongs, we right them. If we can fight fights, we fight them. But when you can't, and it's out of your control and it's out of your power, you look to the Lord and you watch and see what he does. A couple of stories about this. Do you know the stations of the cross? And you come to the fifth station of the cross, and it's Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry his cross. Think for a moment about Simon and what it was like for him on that day. Let's just imagine in our minds. And we go back, and there's Simon of Cyrene. He's making his way across Jerusalem. He's a businessman. He's got business to do. He wants to get it done before sundown. Sees a commotion in the crowd. He goes over and he takes a closer look. It's Jesus carrying his cross, and he gets too close, and the Roman soldiers grab him and pull him in. And they say, by the authority that's given to us by the Empire of Rome and by Caesar, I command you to help this criminal carry his cross. Simon doesn't want anything to do with it. He's got stuff to do. It's total inconvenience. It wasn't part of his plan. It wasn't anything at all that he wanted. And worst of all, he doesn't want to be seen anywhere near this embarrassing criminal. And yet, that moment became the most important moment of his entire life. Because they say that something happened to Simon as he carried the cross. At first, he was upset. At first, he didn't want to do it. At first, he was reluctant. But they say he had a change of heart. Started looking to the Lord instead of to himself. He ended up becoming a great Christian. To this day, he's a canonized saint. What was the difference? His attitude towards Jesus and towards the cross that he'd been given made all the difference for him and for you too. Another one of my favorite examples of this. You remember the story of Calvary? How Jesus was crucified between two thieves, one on his right and the other on his left. Whenever you hear that story, remember, those thieves represent you and me. Justly condemned and enduring the punishment that we deserve. Exact same punishment, exact same guilt, and yet such a difference in how they accepted what was given to them and how they looked to the Lord. You know the story. One thief returns to the Lord and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other thief, suffering the exact same fate, turns to Jesus and he goes, what kind of a God are you? If you're really God, get me down off this cross. Some kind of God you are. What happened to the good thief? By the words of Christ himself, he went straight to heaven. This very day, you'll be with me in paradise. And we don't know what happened to the bad thief. The last time we checked, things weren't looking too good. What's the difference? The difference is in how they look to the Lord. Now, this is true for you as well. You're going to get a cross whether you like it or not. Please accept that cross in faith. That's the message of this day. The most important moment in your life is going to cut you by surprise. It's not going to be your biggest triumph. It's not going to be the day of your biggest victory. The most important moment of your life will take the form of a cross. It'll be something you do not want. Spiritually speaking, that's the nexus around which your life revolves. And remember, someone once told you, how you respond to that moment makes all the difference. It'll make you bitter, or it'll make you better. It'll send you to heaven, or it'll send you to hell. It has the power to make you a saint. If you hear, believe, and keep your eyes on the Lord. Somebody once told me that they thought the Catholic faith was a man-made religion. That's what they told me. I've heard this many times, actually. Catholic faith is a man-made religion. Yeah, they made it up in the Middle Ages, somewhere, man-made. And I said, if it was a man-made religion, we would not have the cross at the middle of our church. And we would not preach self-denial and embracing your suffering with faith and trust. What would we preach? We wouldn't preach self-denial, we'd preach self-fulfillment. What would the symbol of our faith be? I don't know, maybe a big pillow? Yellow smiley face? Maybe a big dollar sign? Who knows? Strange providence we have from a very mysterious God. It's the hardest spiritual lesson I can possibly teach. The healing you yearn for, the blessings your heart desires most, are found on the other side of the cross. Something to remember every time you suffer. Something to remember every time you sign yourself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.